And just popped into my head, Scott, do we have any updates on timelines for some of the guys that are out? Like Swayman just came back. He's, available technically. But he hasn't gotten back in a game yet. So like Forbert, or do we know when the timeline is for him?
I mean, initially it looked like early December, and I think that's kind of still the target goal is probably first or second week of December. There hasn't been a definitive update, but I don't we haven't gotten a he's ahead of schedule type update on Forbert yet. So I would imagine that those first 2 weeks of December, somewhere in there, is still the target for him, and Swayman could start Saturday. If I had to guess, that I mean, they had a few days off, so Ullmark got some rest, and it is extremely hard to go away from a goalie who is now 12-1-0 in the season. But I do think they want to get Swayman in sooner rather than later, and Montgomery has said he does want to ease Ullmark's workload at least a little bit. It might not be a straight rotation, but he doesn't want to, Ullmark's played the most games of any goal in the NHL, and that's not really what the Bruins want. So he will get some games off going forward.
And by the way, there's every indication that the Bruins might want to keep Forbert on IR as long as they can because of the cap situation. So they don't really have a reason to rush him back. In
Well,
fact, they.
they don't have to rush him, but when he's ready, he's going to be back. And at that point, Don Sweeney has to figure out something, because Forbert is clearly an upgrade over Zboril and Strahlman, at least based on how he was playing so far this season.
Yeah, but that depends on whether or not Sweeney can pull something off in like a shorter amount of time. Like you hope he can,
I
and
mean, he's
for
already gotten an extension. Like originally, the timeline was when McAvoy comes back, you have to do something. So he already got his extension. Like you've got to figure it out.
Oh yeah, they do. Just a thought, just because like it is tied together, the IR time and the needing to make a move for cap space. So that remains tied together. Do you guys want to switch over to talking about some of the things you notice about the Bruins defensively? Yay, nay. Is there not much to say for you guys?
I mean, Hampus Lindholm continues to be incredible. Like he still has not had a minus game as a Bruin.
Yeah, through like 20 something, 20 plus games.
Yeah, he's on pace to match his career high in points by the Winter Classic. So, yeah, I mean, another assist Thursday night, and didn't get one on that no-set goal that we talked about earlier, but if ever like you could give a third assist, that's the kind of play that you would do it for, because he started all of that.
Yeah,
Yeah, him.
sorry, Bridget, go ahead.
I was just gonna say the way that they've kept him paired with Clifton has worked out perfectly, and McAvoy Grizzlick has been a good pair. I even thought Strahlman and Carlo looked like a good pair. You already mentioned Scott Strahlman was playing, his opposite side that he usually does, but they're not like a super noticeable pair, Carlo Strahlman, but they got the job done, especially Carlo. He's a good penalty killer. So interesting to see like Carlo being a third pair guy because most teams he wouldn't be. But they have a lot of defensive depth at this point where Clifton is now you're like, okay, well, we thought he was maybe a third pair guy and now he's not because he's up there with Lindholm and they make a good combo.
Yeah, on a Lindholm Clifton pair, it's just another example of, or the latest example of them, kind of pulling a team into the fight. Like we talked about earlier, it wasn't the greatest start for the Bruins, and obviously, Clifton hits Nosek on the boards, who hits Lindholm coming across as a weak side D in transition, and obviously, Nosek and Foligno and Zacha, they all had a touch in that goal, so it just jump started the team, and it started with those two. Kind of a simple play from Clifton to get it to Nosek. But once once Lindholm got that pass from Nosek, that's just a, you know, there's not many defensemen in the league that can skate through with that kind of confidence and poise and power and make something happen out of nothing. So, I mean, it just goes to show, I mean, 18 points in 17 games. The guy's an absolute beast back there right now. Clifton, another strong game. Carlo, I thought you mentioned Bridger that he's not a third pair D on most teams. And that he's a top four. And yeah, I think that's probably true. But he looks like he was in the right spot tonight, if I'm being honest with you guys. Because while I thought he had a good game, like you could tell he was trying to play physical. He was wearing on guys, but there's a lot of third pair D-men in this league that's what their role is. If you're not really bringing much to transition or anything like that, then I don't know how much room there is for you in a top four role on a contending team.
Well, that's and in the system, and in this system that is different than, like, it's a more offensive system. It's more about getting involved in the rush and the defense starting the rush. And that's never been like one of his strong suits. He's always been more of a shutdown guy. So you are able to watch Clifton like transition into more of this offensive player because he had the ability to do it. He just was never really in that kind of position where he was given the leash, I guess you could say. And so he's been able to use it to his advantage and, you know, kind of fit the way that Montgomery wants his defense to operate in transition and offensively. But Carlo's never been that guy. So I guess it makes sense that he ended up, you know, falling a little bit behind compared to some of those guys who can do that.
Yeah, I think, like, especially with the Stroman-Carlo pairing, it's, like, ideally when you think about that pair on paper, what you want is two defensemen making smart, simple plays, you know, nothing too flashy, and I thought that's what you got Thursday night. And that's a change from when Zboril was there, because we've talked about this, like, Zboril this season has been making too many panic plays where he seems to get the puck and not isn't really sure what he's going to do with it and ends up panicking. And, you know, I actually think Carlo's been pretty good at not doing that. I think, again, while he hasn't been flashy and he hasn't been as involved offensively as you might want, or, you know, Jim Montgomery, remember, said before the season he thought Carlo had a lot more to give offensively, was his quote. Like, we haven't really seen that, but I think he has been playing pretty smart hockey. And Stroman came in and did that as well. Quick trip to Stats Corner.
Stroman and Carlo. I knew we would head there at some point.
Yep. Stroman and Carlo, when they were on the ice Thursday night, 11 minutes, 48 seconds at 5-on-5. Bruins out-attempted the Flyers 18-7, outshot them 11-4, and scoring chances were 8-2. Kind of just tells you, and that's not because they were doing anything super dynamic offensively. Although I thought Stroman did get involved a few times, but it's because they're making smart plays defensively and getting out of the zone quickly and efficiently and not having to chase the play around and defend a ton.
I actually thought that Stroman had a few chances that he passed up on that he could have even been more offensive. There was a time where he had all of this space, and for some reason, the Flyers defense was super crunched in, like, tight and wasn't coming out. And he just had space to take, and he had a lane to shoot, and he just didn't, he like held it, passed it, got it back, still had space to shoot, passed it again, got it back. And then finally he shot. But I thought that, you know, either of the first two times he had the puck, he could have just tried to throw something on net because guys were in the crease, maybe grab a rebound. But he had, you know, he could have had some even more looks, I guess. And something different about his game today than maybe, I think this is his fifth game. But he, in some of the earlier games, looked a little bit not at NHL speed, I guess you could say. Maybe just like a little slower than he needed to be. But I don't think that he wasn't noticeably, you know, anything like that today. He seemed like regular regular pace what you need from him. So that was also encouraging to see that he seemed to be a little bit more up to speed.
Yeah, and just, you know, one last note for me on the Bruins defense is if Brandon Carlo is in a third line role this year, third DP role this year, you know, you can't look at it like it's a demotion of any sort. It's like you need that D pair to be a strong shutdown D pair. Every Stanley Cup caliber winning team has that reliable third D pair. So it's just a matter of if you're on that D pair, it's just know what your role is. It's not necessarily that you're less important. It's just, you have a different job. I mean, all their jobs are to defend, but you know what I'm trying to say? It's just a shutdown role. You know what I mean?
Everybody needs that. What about when Forbert comes back? I mean,
what's the best look about that? Because I've said in the past, like, I don't love the idea of a Forbert-Clifton pairing because I just feel like there's not enough foot speed there.
You mean Forbert-Carlo?
Forbert-Carlo, yeah, sorry. Yeah. But seeing Strahlman-Carlo, now, Strahlman's probably a better skater than Forbert, even at his older age. But
the Forbert slander continues.
Coach Strahlman. No,
Forbert's been really good, but like,
I know
he's not, you know, he's not going to be blown past people.
Like it almost Anderson just feels almost. Like you have to like, you like him, but you like give him some negs every once in a while. Like, just a little neg here and there.
Yeah. But so I think seeing the Strahlman-Carlo pairing have some success Thursday night gives me like some optimism that a Forbert-Carlo pairing could look similar in terms of, like I said, like just having two steady defensemen make smart plays, simple plays, and like not try to be too aggressive. We have to actually see it play out, but I could see that being similar to like what we saw from Strahlman-Carlo tonight.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not taking Clifton out of my top four right now. Yeah. And when you talk about a potential lack of foot speed between Carlo and Forbert, but you have to remember, I'm not talking to Scott, I'm just saying in general, like when you have that much size between them and those long, you know, wingspans and the long sticks, if you have good gap control, you can make up for that and good angling. So I'm not too concerned about that because they can learn, you know, they can learn how to make up for that lack of speed. I think they would figure that out pretty well. But more importantly, I just don't want to take Clifton out of the top four right now. He's effective every single night. He's making things happen and he's playing really well with Lindholm, and McAvoy and Grizzlick have their chemistry dating back to BU. So I think right now it's better off to make Carlo and Forbert eventually learn how to live together than it is to uproot what's clearly working right now for them. So did you have any optimal? Go ahead.
And along the lines of, you know, Montgomery saying he wants forwards to figure out how to play together, it's the same thing on defense. So, you know, trying that Forbert-Carlo pairing when the two pairs in front of them are already clicking, like, that makes sense. Like when Forbert comes back, you know, assuming there's no other injuries between now and then, like that's a good time to try that. So even though I might, you know, be a little skeptical of how that ends up looking, like again, that they're rolling so well, there's no harm in giving it a shot, especially because it allows you to stick with two other pairings that are working well.